all going well. On the line, I should have Brenda Lydiard and Mark Laurent. Good morning.
Yeah, we're here. Hello.
Hello.
That's good. I don't normally do an interview over this system, but the levels are looking good, so everything's A-OK at this point. So you guys are, you're at home right now. I'm talking to you at home, am I?
We're at home. We're just in Auckland. We're only, an hour and a half away?
2 hours, maybe.
And so this is the start of a tour for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got, I'm quite sure, I've never actually completely counted, 15 or 16 gigs or something. And we play on the Inter-Islander in both directions too, because that pays you way. So that's, they sort of count gigs in their way, I suppose, even though everybody pretty much ignores you.
So yeah, hopefully we'll be a little bit more appreciative here in Raglan. And I see you're playing in some places. I don't even know, your next gig's in York Bay. I don't even know where that is.
It's Lower Hutt, Wellington. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, we haven't been there before either. But it's somebody who does house concerts, and she's
Having
for an afternoon. Anyone. Yeah.
And a few other places like Cromwell and Tekapor and Hanmer Springs, Akaroa, Kaikoura, like lots of small places that bands don't seem to play at that much. As do you like to go to out of the way places?
A lot of places don't have the right venues for, you know, most of the touring people. But because we're a small unit, just the two of us, and we like doing small intimate gigs, that suits us best. So, you know, those smaller places have the venues, or people will open their homes. We do, you know, we're doing a few house concerts on this tour.
Right.
And we like doing those, yeah. So you might get, you know, 20, 30 people maybe in someone's, you know, someone with a decent sized living room, obviously.
Tekapo is a community hall, though, so that's the local venue. And they suggested to us we come on a Tuesday night, which sounds sort of like an odd night of the week, but apparently Tuesday night's the night that all of the hospo people have their night off.
Uh-huh.
So that's the best night to get the locals.
Right, yeah. And they probably don't get much action otherwise in that part of the world.
No, absolutely. Not a lot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So hopefully now.
Can you guys describe what sort of music you'll be playing tonight here in Raglan?
Well, we're a pair of singer-songwriters, so and we've got sort of somewhat different styles, but we've been doing this together for decades now. That's why it's called the 33rd Anniversary Tour, because it's 33 years since the first time we did a national tour together.
Right.
So Ben's a songwriter and I'm a songwriter, and it's acoustic, unplugged sort of stuff, guitar, mandolin, little bits of other instruments, ukulele and things like that, harmonica. And we both sing, and we sing harmonies with each other. So it's, you know, it's kind of, it would be in the record racks. It used to be called singer-songwriter category, you know, with James Taylor and Joni and all that lot sort of thing.
All those kind of, you know, those sort of influences because of the age that we are. You know, we came through with Bob Dylan and Joni and, you know, Joan Baez and all kinds of people like that. And Mark got more into the rock thing, and I was more in the sort of more contemporary English folk, because that's where I come from, England. And yeah, we kind of blended what we do together, you know.
But there's sort of blues and reggae and more folky stuff, you know, sort of storytelling songs or whatever. But it's
a variety,
eclectic, I suppose.
Eclectic.
And we try and change instruments around a bit just to make it more interesting as well. So, yeah.
And do you have like a carefully crafted set list, or you kind of respond a little bit on the night to how it's feeling?
Well,
and maybe change it up.
Yeah.
Bit of both.
We've got a lot of songs because we've been writing for years, and we've done a number of albums and all the rest of it. So, but you always tend to find, you know, your favourites at the time, and some of the older songs you sort of think, oh no, I've played that 10,000 times now, I don't want to do that one.
Yeah.
So we've got a sort of a set list, but we're pretty flexible, and you know, sometimes people say, oh, will you play such and such? Because if we're lucky, there's people in the audience who actually know our stuff a bit, and they'll ask for something, and we're happy to do that, you know.
Have you guys played in Raglan before?
Yeah, a few times. We've played in the old school before, and we've played at a couple of cafe barry type places over the years. But we've got friends there too, so we've played at, you know, house parties and house concerts and things. But yeah,
Yeah, because your names are familiar, and I was trying to work out whether I'd interviewed you before or not, because I've been doing this job for 10 years now, and I can't quite remember every single interview.
I'm not sure.
You're probably the same.
We're friends with Penny Bousfield and Dennis Conquest and Dave Mabey and Pete Scandella and all that sort of crowd, you know.
Yeah, Michael McKinnon and Lynn
Wilkinson and all those kind of people.
Yeah, so no doubt they'll all be along. You'll definitely have a crowd expected.
We hope so.
Yeah, and is there a support act or anything like that?
No, it's just us. We just support each other.
As a couple, you guys are a couple, right? Living together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Do you need to rehearse?
Oh, so yeah, we don't rehearse much, but the last week or so, we've been just having a play each night, just to, you know, just to refresh ourselves, because after doing it so much, and we do quite a few gigs up here and things, and other little tours and stuff like that. So we play a heck of a lot over the years. So a lot of it's kind of embedded pretty much, but it's always nice to refresh. And sometimes, you know, if you haven't been playing together for a bit, you just that little tuning in time and remembering how you handled that song, you know. But a lot of the time, one of us will bring a song, say Brenna will have a song she's written, she'll say, oh, I've got this one, and she'll play, and I'll just sort of noodle away and figure out some kind of accompaniment for it and a harmony, and vice versa. So the way we grow our songs is pretty organic, really. But they, you know, they take a pretty set form eventually, as any kind of music does. But there's always a little bit of room for improv and things.
And the where am I going? I was trying to think about if you're in a relationship and you're playing music, does the relationship affect the music? Does the music affect the relationship? Like if I could ask a slightly personal question, like if you guys have had a bad day together, does that affect the music?
Do we fight?
Yeah.
We have had times, because, you know, we've come from, you know, historically we've come from quite different places and maybe had different ideas about what we might have wanted to do musically. And, you know, you hear the term musical, people had musical differences or creative differences or something.
Yeah.
And we've certainly had, you know, over a more than 30-year period, you know, like in any relationship, you have times when you're not completely satisfied with the way things are going, or, you know, it's complex.
But then we do other stuff too. So bring and play with other people, or I'll play with other people, or do solos and things and stuff like that. So it keeps room. And of course, somebody else may not have the same ideas about an arrangement that you do. And so there's always compromise, but compromise in a good way usually. You know, it means that you know, Bryn's playing takes me in directions I probably wouldn't have gone on my own, and vice versa. So, you know, it's always a trade. I remember listening to what's his name, Ray Davies from the Kinks. On an interview years ago, and he said, and I don't think this is true of us because we are quite good musicians, but he said we were never great musicians, but we were a great band. And
right.
So something about chemistry, you know, that brings out things that wouldn't have happened otherwise, the sum being greater than the parts and all that sort of jazz, you know. And there is truth to it.
Yeah, what about chemistry with the audience? How much of an effect does that have on you guys while you're playing?
Oh, it's huge. You know, it's not a one-way thing at all. You know, we can do a good performance in any situation, but if you feel the audience is with you and you can tell that they're getting something from what you're giving them, they give back to you, and then that builds, you know, it builds up through the performance, and it takes you to places you wouldn't go if it wasn't for that feedback, I think.
Yeah, we've got a little a negative that turned into a positive story from a gig we once did. It was a house concert, but it was actually for a folk club. It was in the South Island years and years ago now. And we played at this place, and it was absolutely lifeless. We just didn't get any feedback from anybody. We thought, oh, no, we're really bombing. You know, this is terrible. And it was a real struggle to get through the gig. But we did it. And at the end, when we finished, we said, oh, gosh, they're all going to just go straight home now. At the end, this guy said, really sort of straight-faced, he said, I really like that second song. Would you do that one again? And so they had actually been, they had been enjoying it, but we just couldn't tell. And it, for us, it was really hard work. So you just, sometimes you don't know, you know, but you can't make the audience be something it's not. But they were just a conservative crowd, I guess. And you've just got at that point trust that, well, this is what I do and I'm actually pretty good at this. So even on a bad night, I'll be quite good. And you just got to trust that at a certain point and just do it.
And I guess people, different people, different cultures and different countries have, they're a different kind of crowd as well.
All of that sort of thing.
We've played in a bit of time English, and we've done, you know, quite a bit of playing in England over the years, not more recently, but in the past. And yeah, I think English audiences are different. It's a bit hard to put your finger on exactly what it is, but and of course we've played in Australia as well. Yeah.
It's different. There's different expectations, I think. We once played at a club in Cambridge in England called Acoustic Roots, and it's a sort of famous little club down there. It's actually a fairly seedy little basement in a pub, but it had all sorts of famous people play there over the years, you know, so it was one of those places. And it was really interesting. It didn't affect us at all because we weren't part of that scene, but we could see that all the other groups who were playing that night were really competitive and they were eyeing each other and, you know, sort of not. But you know what I mean? But New Zealand's not like that. The music scene here is very friendly.
Supportive,
you know.
Yeah.
Whereas over there it was obviously a different thing. And I suppose because big country and so many more musicians, I suppose that competitiveness was kind of natural. But I think we're quite lucky in the way that we're a small pond. I mean, it has its frustrations, but part of the nice thing is you can't pretend to be something you're not because somebody down the road probably went to school with you, you know.
Yeah.
So it makes us real.
Yeah.
One of the things that about being in this country, of course, is it's quite hard to actually make a career in music. And I most of the musicians I talk to, I do ask the question, have you been able to quit the day job? Have you ever quit the day job? So what's it been like for you guys?
Yeah, well, being older, we sort of quit the day job a while ago anyway. But yes, comparatively, we've been able to make quite a good living at it. And I think it's partly because you've just got to be versatile and be able to do different things. Like, I mean, years ago, I used to teach guitar and also playing in bands and, you know, doing covers gigs and all the different things. I mean, we're songwriters, so whenever we do a concert, we do all our own stuff. But you've just got to be willing to, you know, to try different things and work with different people and perhaps, you know, perhaps even play more than one instrument so you can, you know, be a bass player in a band for a while or, you know, just be a backing singer or whatever it is.
But also we've, you know, over the years we've had sort of moved in sort of different but interlapping circles of people. So we did quite a lot in the of work in sort of you know alternative more new
peace and environment
kind of circles years ago.
Yeah,
because of stuff I'd been involved in when I lived in Australia, and we've also been involved in church circles. You know, so we used to do quite a lot of concerts and things like that, and play in churches and stuff. Don't do as much of that now.
And then there's the folk scene, all of that sort of thing. Yeah.
And so a lot of people even in the acoustic music scene in New Zealand only have like one circle of audience. You know, so it's all the folk music scene. Well, there's a number of folk clubs in New Zealand, and there are festivals. But once you've played all of those, you can't play in them every week. You know, or anything like that. So what do you do then? You know, you don't have people who are just moving in one circle don't have as many opportunities as we've had over the years.
Yeah.
And recording and stuff helps too.
Yeah.
And I had a children's book published some years ago. So for a few years, we had this sort of part-time career visiting for about 8 years, I think it was, visiting schools. And we'd do, you know, we'd go on the road for like 3 weeks and do like 40 schools or something like that. And do assemblies with the kids and get them singing all these songs and, you know, and so you just, there's just different things come along at times and that one, the school one, that's finished now, but you have seasons with stuff, don't you? And you just have to keep, and at the moment, And I wouldn't have confessed this. Wouldn't have confessed this even a couple of years ago. This last few months, we've actually done quite a few villages because we're getting closer to that age group now. So, you know, 10 years ago, you would have thought, "Oh no, I'm no way I'm learning," you know, those old songs or something. But now, actually, they'll listen to a Bob Dylan song or a, you know, whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's yeah, the times are changing. So we've done a bit of that. I mean, we wouldn't want to do that forever, but it's surprisingly satisfying when, I mean, it's always satisfying when people enjoy what you do and get something out of it. And with that sort of crowd, we find quite a few songs that people can sing along to. And that really seems to be quite therapeutic for people and stuff, you know. So that has other satisfactions. And they pay, you know.
Well, pay, that's always important.
Sorry, what was that one?
I was just agreeing that it's very important that they pay so you can keep doing what you do.
They do. Yeah. I mean, we've done goodness knows how many freebies over the years, lots and lots of fundraisers and, you know, rallies and for causes and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, you do a lot of that as well.
Those things have sort of other spin-offs, you know, on other levels in the financial way. But sometimes, you know, somebody come up and they'll say, "Oh, I saw you play at such and such in 1993, you know, and would you come and play for my 60th birthday party or something? And I'll pay you $500, you know." So it's just like, you know, you just got to put it out there and let what comes back in its own time.
Yeah. And can I ask, I presume you two met through music. That seems fairly likely.
Yeah, we did, really. I had only just arrived in Auckland and I was sharing a house with a guy who liked to have parties, and Mark was invited to one of these parties, and we were the only two actual musicians, and I think they had deliberately sort of put us together because they wanted to.
He wanted to have some music. He liked music and he wanted to have music at the party. And so that was kind of, that was nice.
So we sort of shared songs, you know.
And then Brenda had a song that she wanted to, a few days later she contacted me and she said, "Oh, I've got a song I want to record." And this friend, you know, said, "Oh, I think Mark, you know, works in recording studios and stuff." So I had a friend who had a little studio and we went out and recorded Brenda's song. And so we sort of, you know, we definitely met through music. Mm. Yeah.
And were you playing the same sort of music that you play now back then? Because we're talking at least 33 years ago, aren't we?
Mm.
Well, generally, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, the songs are all different now. I mean, we don't tend to play many of those, the ones that we played at that stage, although we still know them.
Yeah, it's one or two.
Yeah, one or two, that's true.
Motel Room's pretty
old. Oh, that's true. There is one we're doing tonight that we
predates
played
when us we, meeting.
When we first started playing together, it was one of the songs we did. And we've rested it for years, you know, decades, in fact. But just lately thought, it'd be quite nice to do that one again. And it's a song about being on the road that Bren wrote when she was touring with Street Talk years and years ago. And so, you know, it's got a little bit of road cachet, you know, sort of thing, so hopefully, and it's a nice song to play. It's a good one for me for guitar licks and things like that. Yeah.
And can I ask, is it with all this, we're talking all this hindsight kind of stuff at the moment, did your musical career pan out in any way the way you imagined it would when you started playing musical instruments?
Well, yes and no. It's hard. Because it's always hard to envisage. I remember, you know, years ago, I particularly anyway was sort of enamored of the rock star thing, you know, and wanted to do that. I mean, you know, Led Zeppelin were my heroes in 1973, you know. But now I realise actually I wouldn't have really wanted to do that. You know, a little bit of it for a while would have been nice, but I think I'm not quite extrovert enough for that or something, and perhaps not quite hedonistic enough. But definitely the thing of having an audience of people who want to share the story with you, you know, you can tell stories and all that stuff through the songs or through, I'd write a bit of poetry too, so I occasionally see a poem or two in here and all that sort of thing. And just that thing of connecting with an audience, I think, you know, on that level, definitely, but it's hard to, you know,
I don't think I didn't really have any expectations. You know, I just sort of, I always played music because I, you know, was in a musical family and just music was just part of my life. And when I was sort of in my mid-20s, I got, met with some people who wanted to start a band. And then I thought, oh, yeah, this is great. I really love that working out songs and then going in. But actually, I enjoyed the rehearsals more than the performances in those days.
Right.
But I don't think I had any sort of real, desired career path in music. I just kind of went with what, you know, rolled with the punches kind of thing, went with what came along more than anything. Yeah. So I don't really, you know, it's not like I thought, oh, I wish I had been blah, blah. I mean, sometimes you think, oh, it would have been quite nice to, you know, maybe play at the Royal Albert Hall once or something. But you know, not very realistic. I
imagine it's actually really nerve-wracking doing big gigs. Yeah. I mean, we played big gigs, you know, a few thousand. I think, you know, maybe about 10,000 is the most I've ever played to in one go. But most of our gigs, especially these days, are smaller ones. But you never know sometimes, you know. Sometimes the gig that you think, oh, that sounds a bit boring, turns out to be the fantastic one. And another one that has been all hyped up is a bit lackluster, or the sounds, you know, the onstage sounds bad, or, you know, whatever. And so you just have to approach each one and just sort of, well, here I am, I'll give it a go, you know.
Yeah. Hey, folks, Brenda, what were you saying?
No, it's all right. Right, go.
Because I'm just about to wrap up. I've got like a couple of minutes of my show left. So I just wanted to remind people we're talking to Mark Lauren and Brenda Lydiard. Mark, was I pronouncing your last name at all correctly?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, if we were sophisticated in French, we'd say Laurent, you know. It's from the Saint Laurent, you know, as in the
fashion
guide, but we lost the sainthood somewhere along the way.
Fair enough. So they're going to be at the Old School Art Centre tonight, 7:30. I presume doors are opening at 7.
That's right, yeah.
People can pay cash at the door. And, and if people want to check you out online, is there somewhere they can check you out online?
Put either of our names into Google, go to YouTube and put Brenda Lydiard or Mark Laurent. We've got separate channels, but where our stuff overlaps, you know, because we play on each other's stuff some of the time.
Yeah.
If you just Google either of our names, the stuff will come up. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thank you heaps for your time this morning, guys. And I hope you have a good gig and a good trip down
really
from Auckland.
Nice of you to have us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yes, I had to have a day off yesterday. I had 2 days off on holiday, and then I needed a third day off to get better from the holiday. I don't quite know what happened.
Yeah, from your holiday. Right.
Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. Right.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, there we go. That was, Mark Laurent, Laurent. I'm spelling that so you can find it online if you want. And Brenda Lydiard, Lyddiard, at the Old School tonight at 7:30.